You are listening to Fresh Oil, a podcast that examines the human condition while coming to terms with the purpose of life.
Hello and welcome back to the podcast with Billy Delaney. How are you? And welcome to another episode of Fresh Oil. This week on the podcast, we're talking about love and the human experience with it. Some of the questions we're going to be asking is, where does love come from anyway? Does it have an origin, a beginning place? We're asking the question, why do we have to go begging for this love? And we'll look into something that I call the unknown book for some insights for living in love. You can't talk about love without talking about the abuse that pretends to pass off as love, so we'll look a little bit at that too. And then we'll ask the question, would you like to be in love? Are you interested? Then let's go deeper. Begging for love, the human experience. I've got a picture on my website that accompanies this podcast, the article version of it, of a little girl in black and white relief, and she has a balloon flying away from her that she's reaching out to grab. And the balloon's shaped like a heart. And the expression on the little girl's face is one of longing and loss. And it's an image by the street artist called Banksy. And it summarizes completely everything about this. So begging for love, the human experience. Don't even think this isn't about you and me, for it is, and it always will be. We need this condition showered upon us and often never know its blessing. Instead, we're required to seek it at some inflated price that never meets our expectations. Here's a question. Where does love come from? Have you ever considered that question? Is this human experience? People hunt for it everywhere. No limits are known or expense spared in the finding and getting of this love. What's the big deal with love that people go out and beg for it? People put themselves through horrors to have someone love them back. Well, around the world, they celebrate love. And isn't that strange? They give it a special day all for itself, calling it Valentine's Day. Heart-shaped images abound, and little winged babies fly with arrows to shoot at people, Twitter-pating them with the love condition. It's not really true, but it sells cards, candy, and sentiment. Yet people beg for this love to Twitterpate them, to affect them. Why? What makes it so scarce to some people that they'll go begging for something that is readily available? Even in popular music, when I was a boy, it was awash with the idea of love. And there was a band called the Beatles, and they sang about it regularly. In fact, it was the pattern they set for the rest of the bands to follow. But I digress. So what is this condition called love? And we've asked, does it have an origin? And if it does, how do we go about getting more of it in our lives and into the world at large? So let's begin. You know, we could go searching the poets, writers, sages for answers. And they abound in their expression of this thing, love, as a condition. Yet all we would receive is the expression of this love. Well written, but still, just the expression of it. We could, but we won't. Because there is a far more sure place to start and end our search. You know what's coming, don't you? In the unknown book, the first time the world and the word love shows up, it happens to deal with the potential death of a young man called Isaac, and that means laughter. His father Abraham's being tested by God, and he, God, seems to test a lot of that to see if Abraham will trust him. And thankfully, Abraham, who loves his son, does, and it all works out so well. He passes the test. And then in the unknown book, and the last time the word shows up again, it has death in its midst. Now that is strange. This time people who love and make lies are being allowed to perish by attrition for their actions. They're said to be sorcerers, whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters. Not a very welcoming bunch in the love department. Well, just the fact that the first reference of love and the last reference of love in the unknown book interests me. And that was our introduction. So, are you ready? Let's go deeper. The unknown book reveals the scope of this love we crave and the actions we take to secure it. It also reveals the Creator as principle in this love, far past that of the creation. That's what's so fascinating about the unknown book. People pass it looking for what it can provide. Love. Unending, fulfilling, complete love. So let's take a little closer look at that. You know, the word love is used in the unknown book 442 times. Just the word love. That doesn't count the derivatives of the word like loved, loves, loveth, etc. It's a big word with broad, expansive use in the unknown book. And it's used in both good and bad ways. In the Gospel of John, just the word love is used 39 times. And the verse of last century, the verse that defined a century, where they magnified and manifest this by their actions all over the world, when people went and spread this unknown book and its message. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I'm going to also add everlasting love. So the Creator God loves us, and if you listen to last week's podcast, you'll see that God went to great lengths to secure our love voluntarily. What a thing. Now God describes himself in the first epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 8. And he describes himself in this way. He says, God is love. So love can be personified. It has an origin. It has a source, a beginning. It has an all-encompassing condition. Our Creator, he is love. It begins and ends with him. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, which is similar to John 3:16, we read this. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. The Creator, after the fall, took our place to woo us back again to him, to give us a choice where we by voluntarily could choose to love him again. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we see our reaction to this love and this sacrifice, where we say we love him because he first loved us. So we've been wooed, listener, reader. We've been wooed at a great price, at a great hurt, at a great cost, at great sacrifice, at great expense. And at no time were we not being wooed by the love of God. It's how fascinating this redemption of the fall of our kind, man. How utterly compelling is the underlying story of love in action towards us. If you want to see a great example of that, go to the book of Ruth. And in the book of Ruth, it's called The Romance of Redemption. because of the conveying story of how love worked in action, and quite an action that took place there that affected all of us. And do you know something else? The beneficiaries of this love often leave it and go looking for something else. You say, what? How can that be? I'm out here begging for people to love me, and if this love came to me, why would I ever walk away from being loved? What's wrong with something? What's wrong with this love that we would need to go find another? Alas, that's the expression of the human condition. And what more can be said? We're only repeating what our original parents done. So you who are listening to the podcast or are reading this article, let me please ask a question of you. Are you facing a shortage of love? Have you been the victim of a starved affection and love from those you wanted to give your love to, or begged for your love to be reciprocated and returned? Unfortunately, the abuse of love in our world is rampant, or the so-called expression of love. And I remember seeing an article of a little Vietnamese girl. She was about 3 years old, and there was a picture of her crouching beside this concrete wall while three or four lanes of traffic and people on motorcycles walking on the sidewalks just buzzed by her, cars whizzing past her, and not one person caring at all that there she was in this endangered situation and condition. Reading on in the article, I read of the sexual predators who were prowling this part of the world, seeking these children to abuse for their sick pleasures. It hurt me deeply. I couldn't do a thing about that. Not sitting reading the article. And it was years ago, and I still pray for that little girl. I'd love to have swept her up and provided her with a love she probably never have known. And in our modern day in the Western civilization, a man called Tim Sanders, who I do admire, I do like his books, he wrote a book called Love is the Killer App. And it was a book and a subject that turned him into an international writing and speaking celebrity. He wrote of the human condition under the influence of love. Of course, people loved it. But what's more strange is that the unknown book has been abandoned for the very thing that people seek and that it reveals in spades and more. How strange is that? I'm never short of amazement regarding the human condition and the experience it displays when it comes to this attribute of our Creator, love. Why? Because we act like we own love. We act like it's ours and we can do with it what we will. But love is an attribute of our Creator. Love is the defining statement of our Creator about Himself when He says, God is love. Love doesn't follow any man-made pattern. It exists as the prime essence of our God. And we are in love or we are not. You don't get a choice. Would you like to be in love? When we're in love, it comes with both privilege and responsibility. We face the test of loyalty, fidelity, and honor to the one or ones loved and loving us. The privilege is that we get the condition called love. The responsibility is that we don't violate it through an action of deceit or betrayal. When we betray love, we lose. We lose a very big, all the privileges of that love. We hurt the other loved party. No one wins. Mankind has always wanted to blame God for the conditions we inherited from our original parents when they rejected God's love and the ensuing privileges it brought. I've often sat and wondered if Adam and Eve can stand the spectacle of the world they infected and destroyed. Their children today beg for love, love that was freely and abundantly given without measure to them. Yet they walked away for a lied about experience that never came to be. And us, their children, have been begging for this love ever since. So this love of God, if we know this love of God in our life, if we have experienced the love of God, how easier is it to love man? How easier is it for to provide an expression of that to those that want it from us? Because if it's just the human condition, that's such a filtered love, usually very selfish. So this love of God, back in the unknown book, my reader, listener, and friend, we find, as you read through the narrative, all the armies of the world can't enforce love for a dictator. All the money in the world can't ensure the purchase of love for its buyer. All the sacrifice in the human condition cannot bring a moment of it unless it is willingly returned. But it's a free gift if you know where to go and get it. Love's free. You don't have to beg for something that's free. Unfortunately, in the human condition, those that we want to get love back from, we tend to have to do that. It's a free everlasting gift from our Creator that endures past the fleeting moments of our short life. When the Mop Top sang "All You Need's Love," they were close, but not close enough. To get this love, you need to come to the Creator who is love. And then I hear, when I talk about this or talk like this to people, about all the tears, all the burdens, all the heartaches, all the problems that have been fostered upon us. Why won't God stop this? He will. He'll wipe away all tears in good time. He'll right the wrongs of those who violate the very nature of love and our want, and who turned love into something what it wasn't. Never could be. I ask you to consider the condition of receiving this love. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12, you'll see a very intimate moment that you can read in this verse. It's openly inviting you, come one, come all. Yet it is conditional. As many as. Read it if you care. So to get love manifest in the world, we need to get the love of God manifest to us. And the only way to understand this love that we go begging for is to understand that it's just not between you and me and the people that we want love to love us back. There's our Creator, our Maker. There's His love. And He is love, and He's the source of it. I'm not some do-good modernist trying to exterminate the rest of the problems of humanity by stating, if you have love, everything will be peachy. That's not true. Don't even think like that. But I'm just talking about how you can have love, even if the love you beg for won't reciprocate or come back to you. You can have the love of God that is liberally shed abroad in our hearts. So begging for love, it is the human experience. But there is an answer. There is a provision. And you can find it in the unknown book. Well, thanks for listening to the podcast today. And the design and the idea was to provide you with something a little bit different when it comes to this idea of love, its source and fountain. And coming up next week, we're going to be talking with a very special individual, someone who has gone through quite a bit of the human condition in her own life, Molly Gordon. And Molly Gordon has people coming to her, asking her to help them. and she's very free in her love. She's very free in her help. She's very giving and caring. A good human being living with the condition of the human experience. Come back next week as we interview Molly Gordon and go deeper.
You've been listening to Fresh Oil with Billy Delaney. Thanks for pressing play.